Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Productive Conflict. Hi, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Rebecca, and today is February the 13th. And we continue our article, Conflict with Coworkers. And I'd like to invite my friend Peter back to the program.
Hello, Rebecca. Hello, everyone. Nice to be here.
Peter, it's great to have you back. And we are talking about conflict. This article is kind of focused on conflict in the office, but it's actually good for almost all relationships because in almost every relationship, there is a potential to have disagreements and have differences of opinion because every one of us is unique and no two people are exactly the same.
Exactly.
Yes. And before we get into today's article, I'd like to ask you from yesterday's tips, from yesterday's talk about conflict, is there any phrase or concept you think we need to rehash or go over?
Well, rehash actually reminds me of a phrase from yesterday's article, and that's hash out. To rehash, like you said, means to go over something again that you've already gone over once. Hash out something related means to discuss it very thoroughly, very carefully until you reach an agreement. The idea being that it's a particularly challenging problem that you can't just look at and immediately see the solution to. You got to hash it out with someone else. But another phrase from yesterday that I remember that is, it's not one of the 4 points that the article gives us, but it's kind of a fifth point in a way, and that's kicking the can down the road.
Yeah.
An idiom that simply means to postpone taking action, to put something off, a decision you have to make or finding a solution for something. If you just put it off, you say, I'll deal with it later, we call that kicking the can down the road, and that's what that means. And that is the great temptation in any conflict, apart from the specific tips we have, which are sort of like action points, strategy points. The whole reason that we want to learn these tips is so that we don't kick the can down the road when we find ourselves in a situation of conflict. But with the help of these tips, we can address it right then, right there, you know, taking the time to think about it, of course, but not simply kicking it down the road, not postponing and taking action. Because, one more phrase from yesterday, what can happen is that can turn a molehill into a mountain, which is to say that can turn something which is really very small into something that is really very big because we didn't address it.
Yes, Peter, that is a wonderful summary of many of the things we learned yesterday. And the best part is you worked our new words into all of it. That's just perfect. There's just one more phrase I'd like to add is, yesterday we talked about we need to, before we start a conflict or before we go into a discussion of the other person, we need to determine what is the goal.
Right.
Like, what do we want to get out of this discussion or this fight or this conflict? And we had this phrase that you did point out, the ideal end state.
Yes.
So the end state is kind of like the final outcome, and something that is ideal is kind of like the best possible outcome. So you need to have in your head, what is the ideal end state? Like, if I do have this discussion of the other person, what do I want? Like, what would be the best possible thing that could come out of discussion or conflict?
Right.
So the ideal end state. And that's just something we don't often think about when we're fighting.
Exactly.
Because we are emotional. We just want to be right. We just want to have our feelings validated. A lot of the times, mm-hmm. validated just means people to say you're right or, you know, they agree with your feelings. And we often don't have the end goal in mind because if we did, perhaps some of those conflicts we'll just have to decide, let's just walk away. It's not worth it.
Right, right. Exactly. That's why determine your goal is so important, because in the process of determining your goal, you may come to see that it's not a good goal. or that it's not a realistic goal. The author gives some examples of undoing a decision, changing a decision that was made in the past, trying to influence someone's behavior, perhaps. I mean, when you talk about influencing someone's behavior, that is a huge discussion, which is to say, in some cases, yes, you can influence someone's behavior, but in a lot of cases, you can't. And so if in the process of determining your goal, you realize that your goal is to try to change this person to be something that they're not, then that is wisdom gained by you, because you can look at it and see, okay, that's simply unrealistic. This conflict that we have is something I'm going to have to resolve sort of on my own.
Right.
Because my goal is apparently, that is fueling the conflict, is to change that person. And again, you talk about changing people, that is a very complex, complicated goal.
Yes, and usually you will fail. That is just kind of how it works. Usually we will fail if we try to change people.
Yeah, or try to change them too much.
Yes. Yeah. Well, maybe over time, if they're willing to change, they might come around. But trying to change people's inherent personality.
It's not a unilateral thing, something that is only done by one side. Both sides have to be in agreement that it's going to happen or else it won't.
That's right. Well, on that point, let's get into today's article, and we will finish up our point from yesterday that you need to determine your goal before getting into a conflict, and then we will also teach our third tip. So let's get into today's first reading.
Once you have a sense of what you'd like to accomplish, you can plan a structure for the conversation to help you reach that goal. Part of that plan involves finding a way to tell the individual you'll be talking with what you want. The ideal conversation around a conflict not just highlights a problem, but also charts a path forward. Plan a follow-up. It is important to bring a constructive mindset to difficult conversations. You may not know what the solution to a problem is, but you should plan to explore potential solutions. You can ask others for help generating ideas. If you are raising a problem with someone for the first time, it is possible this discussion may catch them by surprise or even lead to an emotional response. So be prepared to schedule another time to talk later when the other party is ready to explore solutions.
Peter, let's talk a little bit more about determining your goal. So we got that tip from yesterday. And then what does the author say we should do once we have an ideal end state in mind?
Right. Well, the author's very helpful here. I think this whole article is helpful. And specifically, once we have that end state in mind, the author says we can plan a structure for the conversation that we'll have with the person we have a conflict with. We can plan a structure for the conversation to help reach that goal, to help reach that ideal end state. And this is, again, something that I would not normally think of, but that's why I'm glad the author brings it to mind in this way, to think about the conversation you're going to have and not just, okay, we got to, hash this out in some general sense, but, give that conversation a structure so that you can, as he says, find a way to tell the person, to tell the individual that you'll be talking with what you want. The ideal conversation around a conflict not just highlights a problem, but also charts a path forward. So, extremely important there. The conversation that you're going to have here is not just a more calm version of the initial fight that you had.
Right.
You can't just say, you really annoy me, and I'm not yelling it, but that's all I'm saying. That's not the conversation we're supposed to have here. You can say that, but you also have to chart a path forward. Chart, the verb chart there means, it's kind of like the way sailors hundreds of years ago would chart their way through the sea on maps or charts in that way. So to chart their path would be to plan a path based on the maps they have, and that's what he's calling us to do here in that conversation. Highlight the problem. Don't, pretend like the problem doesn't exist, but chart, find a path forward.
Yes, we need to find a way forward out of this conflict. So this is a very good tip, I think, determining your goal.
Right.
I think that tip for both of us, we thought it's very, very useful. Now we need to move into our next tip, And what is the next tip?
Right. The next tip is plan a follow-up. And again, this is, I said yesterday that that tip about determining your goal might be, for me, the most important tip, but really, plan a follow-up is a close second because it's so, the thing about conflict is that we don't, you know, a lot of us seek to avoid it because we think conflict is just about negative emotions, anger, frustration, and so we try to avoid the whole thing together. But the author is actually here saying, dive into it, dive into conflict, not emotionally, but in terms of treating it as a real thing that you're not going to solve in one conversation. And so plan a follow-up. You know, plan another conversation, another constructive conversation, you know, a day later, a week later, a month later from that first conversation to see how things are going. Don't feel like, okay, I de-escalated the emotions, I'm not shouting, we've had our conversation, and now we're done with it. No, this is, you know, to truly address a conflict, you need to have a follow-up of some sort, just like you would have a follow-up with a health situation, with a medical situation. You don't go to the doctor once and he says this. A good doctor will say, check back with me in 2 weeks or a month or something to see how it's going. And it's the same with conflict resolution.
And this is especially for the harder conflicts, right? Conflicts that are harder to just solve. Like, you're not able to just solve it all. Like, you will not fix all the world's problems in one day.
Yeah.
Or you won't fix your conflict. Sometimes you can't fix your conflict in one day.
Yeah.
It will take more time. So here it tells us to bring a constructive mindset to difficult conversations. And when we think about the word construction in general, we think of people building things. Like, we think of builders building a building. That's construction. So if you have a constructive mindset, it just means you have a mindset that is looking for ways to solve the problem. So that's something that is constructive, is something that will bring benefit to this problem, or it will help solve. Like, you're thinking of how to solve it. So the kind of mindset you need to have, the kind of thinking you need to have, is you need to be constructive. How do I find solutions? And here also says that you might not know the solution to the problem, but you're willing to explore possible solutions. And I think the beauty of this line is sometimes there is more than one solution.
Yeah.
There's many different kinds of solutions.
Yeah, and so you can potentially have a conflict over the solution to the conflict because there's different ways potentially of solving the problem, and you need to figure that out as well.
Yes. So a lot of times in conflict resolution, we actually need to know what is really the issue that that person really cares about.
Right.
Because a lot of times what people say is not that real issue.
Yeah.
What they are saying is just kind of like the tip of the iceberg.
Yes.
So, you know, like how an iceberg floats in the ocean, you just see that little tiny thing at the top, but there's a huge thing at the bottom that we need to get to understand, why is that person being so angry?
Yeah.
Like, is what they're saying the real conflict, or is there something deeper, or there's something that is more important to them?
Right.
And we have to fish for that. Like, we need to fish out what is really important to that person, and like, what is so important to them that they want to fight about this?
Yeah.
And then when we both know what is really important to each other, sometimes that's where we can get creative and find a new solution.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times a solution might not be what you think you're hearing. Yes. And then we can also ask others for help generating ideas. Actually, I was thinking you can also ask ChatGPT for help. Like, especially, I wanted to say this in our last point, determining your goal. Like, if you want to do a role play of the conversation, a difficult conversation that you need to have, it's often very useful to role play with a close friend or a family member.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when you can't do that, maybe you can just talk to ChatGPT. Describe your problem to ChatGPT. I have a problem with my colleague over this. And I think that this colleague feels this way. And I need you to practice with me a difficult conversation on how I would approach this topic with my colleague.
Mm-hmm.
And ChatGPT can also be your friend. ChatGPT can help you do that role play so that once you get to the real situation, you can feel more comfortable.
Yeah. ChatGPT is, of course, a machine at the end of the day, as we all know, but it is valuable in helping you see things you might not otherwise see or remember things you may have forgotten, or just, like you say, in a role-playing conversation where you have this conversation with ChatGPT and they're pretending to be the person that you have to actually talk to, it can be helpful to see, just get a feel of what it is like to talk about the issue with someone, and in this case, someone who won't be hurt if you say the wrong thing.
That's right. And then back to the plan of follow-up, just like we would schedule in follow-up meetings, here it says that if you're raising a problem with someone for the first time, it's possible they'll be completely surprised by this conversation. And some people, they just don't get it.
Right.
So maybe you need to schedule another time to talk.
Right. Don't imagine that the other person is off doing all this thinking and determining your goal that you're doing. You know, they may just have a mindset of sweeping it under the rug, not kicking the can down the road, as we said. Don't assume, hopefully they are doing that kind of thinking. And when the two of you come together for that conversation, you can be on equal footing. But be prepared for them to not be as far along in the issue as you are, and to sort of have to, you know, gently guide them.
Yes. So sometimes you have to schedule a discussion for another day. Maybe today's not the best time for it. I just let you know I want to talk about this.
Yeah.
And then maybe they'll prepare them mentally for the next conversation. Okay. On that note, we need to get to our fourth tip. So let's get into our last reading.
Be amenable to change. When you initiate a conversation around a difficult topic, you know your side of the story. You also have your sense of what you're hoping to accomplish. You're probably missing key information as well. That's one reason why you want to have a conversation. In order to make it a true discussion, though, you have to be willing to learn and potentially change your mind as a result of what you hear. That openness can be difficult. Conflicts can lead to a sense that you have to win the discussion by bringing the other person over to your way of thinking about things. The goal of a difficult conversation isn't to win. It is to reach an accommodation to address the source of the conflict. That solution is likely to involve compromise on your part. You should prepare yourself mentally that you're not going to get everything you want. Don't dig your heels in and get in the way of a path forward.
So, Peter, we get into our last tip, and the tip is be amenable to change. So when you're amenable to something, it's means just means that you're willing to accept what someone is doing or saying.
Right?
Like you are kind of easygoing. You're willing to accept what they're doing.
You're open to it.
So here we're being amenable to change. So it means we have to be open to change.
Yeah.
That's not easy, especially as we get older.
Absolutely.
I think once you're over 18, it gets harder and harder to be willing to change.
Oh, yes. No, children and teenagers are much better at change because they spend all their life as children and teenagers changing. Their bodies are growing. Their minds are developing. They're changing. One year is very different from the next, but by the time you reach like age 18 or so, you become an adult, you become much more resistant to change. And I speak from experience.
Yes.
Because
you're both over 18.
Yes. We're both over 18 here, full disclosure. And you become more resistant to change because you begin to see, you realize you can't just go through your life changing. You have to anchor down at some point and be this person and not that person. And also you're helped by your physiology. Your physical body stops changing as much as it did when you were a kid, as an adult. And so that contributes to this resistance to change as you get older. But as with all the tips here, dealing with conflict is challenging, and we need articles like this because all these tips take effort.
Yes, it takes effort.
All these tips are not, you know, sit on your throne of victory and enjoy watching your enemy suffer for having wronged you. There's nothing like that here.
Yes.
All of this is you take the time, you take the effort, You control yourself. You do the thinking. You be open. Be ready to change if need be. It's all a sacrificial kind of approach, really, to resolving conflict, but it's the only true way.
Yes. And then it goes on to say that when we start a conversation, a difficult conversation, we already know our side of the story. So we already know how we feel about something, where we stand. And we also have an idea of what we want to accomplish. But the problem is our information is incomplete.
Yeah.
We don't really know why that person did what they did or said what they said. A lot of times we're basing how we think the other person is, what they're saying or what they're reacting on our past experience with them, or sometimes just based on pure assumptions. And something that you assume or an assumption is something that you're guessing. It's like we don't know that for a fact.
Right.
So that could be a problem. And we're missing key information. So to have a true discussion, you have to be willing to learn new things, like learn new information. And once you learn that new information, maybe sometimes we have to change our mind.
Right, exactly. That's I like that line here. That's one reason, right in the middle of the paragraph, that's one reason why you want to have a conversation. It's very tempting, and we can do this without realizing it, to go into a conversation and turn it into a monologue. And turn, you know, a monologue that's in a play when a character just speaks without being interrupted for, you know, a length of time, a monologue. And a conversation in conflict resolution for it to truly be a conversation, like it says here, you have to be open, you have to be amenable to change, to the fact that you may not have all the information that you think you have. You have your own goal in mind, you have determined your own end state and such, but you don't know completely where the other person may be coming from, what their end state is. And so you have to bring an openness and amenability to the conversation. And again, that takes effort. That we need to remind ourselves to do that. It won't just automatically happen.
Yes. And a lot of times, I think in our last paragraph, this is a really, really important point. And it's actually, I think it's about the third sentence. It says, the goal of a difficult conversation isn't to win.
Exactly.
So conflict is not about winning. And that's something as we get older, hopefully we'll have the wisdom to more and more understand that if you win every conflict, but you lose all your friends,
right,
you lose all your coworkers. They don't, for example, they say, Rebecca's a hard person to work with. She's argumentative. She's stubborn. She's difficult to get along. I don't think that's the end goal. And I'm not saying I'm all of those things. I'm just using myself as an example,
a
right?
Mirror reflection here.
Yes. So just using myself as an example, it's not, you don't really win. It's like you win the battle but lose the war.
Right,
that's
right.
Another term that we have in English when we're saying that you think you won, but you know you didn't. Because the battle is just, there's many, many, many battles in one war. But the end result is we want to, at the end of the day, we want to win.
Yeah.
We not just to win a conflict, we want to win this person.
Yeah.
We want to have a good working relationship with them. Or if it's a relationship in real life, you want to have a spouse that you can work well with and that you love each other, right? That's really important. So here it says, the goal of a difficult conversation isn't to win. It is to reach an accommodation to address the source of the conflict. Okay, the word accommodation. We use this word when we talk about, like, for example, what are your accommodations? When we're talking about traveling, like, where are you going to stay? What hotel or B&B? But what does accommodation mean here?
Right. An accommodation, and it's similar to the hotel meaning of the word. An accommodation means something that will allow both of you to continue together in harmony, something that will give each of you some of what you want so that at least together you can continue to work without future conflict, just like a hotel gives you a room with a bed and a bath that you can stay in overnight while you're staying in this town where you don't actually live, where you don't have a house. They will accommodate you. They will serve you in that way. And so you want to reach a sort of service agreement in the conversation that you're having with the person you're in conflict with so that your needs can be met, even if it involves, as it says in the next sentence, some compromise on your part. And that's the whole point of the tip here. Be amenable to change. Don't go into these conversations thinking you're going to get all that you want or even that the other person is going to get all that they want. want. Mm. What you're looking for, like you said, isn't to win, but to reach an accommodation in which enough of your needs are met. Like at the hotel. It's not like they give you a whole house with a car and a backyard and everything. They give you just enough to meet the needs that you have. A bed, a warm room, a dry room, and a bath.
A nice washroom, hopefully. I can't stand hotels without a nice washroom.
Yes.
Okay. And so a lot of times we have to compromise. And here it says you have to prepare yourself mentally that you're not going to get everything you want. So it goes back to the phrase we learned yesterday. It's a give and take.
Yes.
You gain something and then you'll probably have to lose something.
Yes.
But like you gain what's more important to you and you lose what's less important to you. And then the opposite of give and take is digging your heels in.
Right.
And here it says, don't dig your heels in.
Right. You know where that expression comes from?
Where?
When kids play tug of war, when you all line up on both sides of a rope and you pull to see who can pull the other one into the ditch or something or over a line or something, if you dig your heels in, that gives you strength to resist being pulled. So that's where the phrase comes. Here it means to be stubborn, to be obstinate, to be inflexible, to not be amenable to change, but to dig your heels in so that the other person can't move you at all. And, you know, that may be helpful for winning tug of war, but a conflict resolution conversation is not a tug of war.
Yes, because if both sides dig your heels in, you will get nowhere.
Right.
That's why many wars don't end.
Exactly.
Like right now in the world, there's still ongoing conflicts that don't end because both sides, they refuse to give and take.
Yeah.
It's completely, I want what I want, and I'm going to winner takes all. I need to win this because I want everything I want.
Yeah.
So we can't dig our heels in. We need to be open to change no matter what age we are, no matter whether you're 15 or you're 65. We all have to be amenable to change. And that's part of life in general, I think.
It is,
we
but it's so easy to forget.
We have to be open to change.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we want to win in our hearts. You know, we want, if we're honest, we want to win, you know. And this conflict resolution takes time, takes effort, takes putting aside, controlling that urge to just win and vanquish our enemy, our opponents. You know, determine your goal. Don't let the emotions escalate. Be amenable to change. These are things that are hard to do, but that's why we need articles like this to remind us of it and to encourage us.
Yes, and to help us become better versions of ourselves.
Exactly.
Because when we become better versions of ourselves, we'll learn how to fight better and to fight more productively and hopefully have less and less conflict.
Yep.
Because we are becoming better versions of ourselves. On that note, we need to end today's program. Thank you, friends, staying with us for the past 2 days as we learn how to navigate conflict better. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Peter.
Saying see you later.
Bye-bye.